Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.
Alrighty, here we go. Wes Blakey, Kale Geese did make it all the way out to the radio station. So how's the highways, guys?
Well, we drove slow enough that they were fine. Your
how's my corner?
Your corner's a little trickier.
Yeah. Okay. Be careful out there, folks. It is slick. Yes. So, and be careful walking more than driving, I think. It's really slick on the sidewalks.
Yep. But, well, now there's a nice crust over the snow, so you think the snow is going to give you traction, and it doesn't give you anything.
Well, after I fell down on my sidewalk, I walked across my lawn to get to my car this morning. It was a lot easier. You crunch through the layer on top, but you get some traction anyway that way.
It's good to fall down right away in the morning, then you just think everything's uphill from here on.
Okay. Anyway, city council met last night. Brady told me there was no bloodshed last night, so I guess it went okay.
Yeah, kind of a dull affair.
A normal day in Wayne
City
Council.
There's no bloodshed at a council meeting. It's a dull affair.
All right, so I suppose we should get to it. I have my agenda here. Let's see. An update from the Wayne Airport Authority.
Yeah, the airport, there's a new president out there, Travis Meyer, and he was present to make what he wants to be a quarterly report now that the city council's doing kind of quarterly reports or quarterly retreats for planning sessions. He wants to come in and just kind of keep the council up to date. So he was talking about the flight simulator that they have out there. Sounds like that's going really well. That's kind of tying into the flying club, which they've been starting up. Which sounds like it's going to drastically reduce the price of getting your pilot's license. And if you live in the 68787 zip code, you get an extra price break on that. And then he also briefly touched on the large projects that they're doing, some taxiways that are coming back that should improve the flow and safety of the actual airplane traffic out there. So he's really looking to increase the amount of traffic out at the airport and looking for ideas. So don't hesitate to go out there. I know it's just kind of one of those places that if you're a citizen, you don't ever really find yourself out at the Wayne Airport. But give Travis a call. He'd love to show you around. He's hoping to get people to hop in the simulator and take a little spin. I don't know, he told a lot of stories about the simulator, but you can fly in any airport in the world, you can fly a couple different type of aircrafts, and he'll certainly be there to show you how to do it.
Okay.
I'm volunteering you for a bunch of time, Travis, if you're listening to this.
Okay,
so
there
enjoy.
You go. Do we charge admission for the simulator?
So, again, I'm not part of this dance, so I'm kind of speaking off the cuff here. But I think they will let you, you know, come check it out, you know, kind of a trial run. The membership for the club is $250 a year. If you're in 68787 zip code, if you're outside of that, it's $500. Travis had mentioned that if you have an hour's worth of simulation in like an Omaha, it's like $89 to $90, something like that, an hour. So if you get $250, pretty much unlimited as long as it's, you know, not scheduled on top of each other. It's a pretty decent deal on that. I talked to him a little bit after the meeting on are there student fees or are there student things like other things like that. And he said at this point it's all just $250, 68787, and $500 if you're outside of that.
Okay.
I will say that the club meets. He mentioned something last night, I think on a Monday, but I kind of clarified that with him last night. It's the second Sunday of each month at 5 o'clock out at the boardroom in the terminal. So go out to the airport on Sundays at 5 and see what they're all about. Again, I don't think it's a secret handshake to get in at this point. It's more of a they're just trying to get the word out. And they'll be doing some marketing here in a little bit once they've got to get kind of more trained on the simulator. And right now I think there's just two of them that kind of lead that. I think they'd like a couple more that are able to do that.
And since we have all the school kids listening, if they haven't already gone back to sleep, which I know I would have if I was back in high school, but they are willing to take, I think, high school age people and throw them through the simulator because I think to get your pilot's license is just like a car. I think it's 16 or 17. So.
I don't know.
It was low enough that I was shocked that you could get your pilot's license that early.
Well, we'll have to have Travis out sometime, and he can give us more details.
I think he'd love it.
I'm sure it's a work in progress of what they're scheduling to do and all that. So yes, that's very interesting, though. I didn't realize we had all that in Wayne.
That's right. Full of surprises, Dan.
And now we know. All right. Well, let's get back to other city business. Water projects, I see, is next.
Yeah, we had Casey Junk, our water supervisor, in front of us at the council retreat a week ago. And he kind of had enough information that we're like, all right, we need to get this out in front of the people. But the main thing that he was talking about is Well 7, which is one of our wells in town. Doesn't really have the capability to blend the chlorine and fluorine. And we need to have an addition onto the building because you need to have that set aside into a separate compartment that then feeds into the water coming off the well. And then he talked a little bit about how when we're chlorinating the water, which no one likes to do, but unfortunately is a necessity at some times, and as Wes will tell you, the state is pushing us further and further into doing it all the time, the water from the north end of town hits that blend first. So people on the north end of town end up tasting that chlorine a little bit more than the people on the south end of town. And Wes, do you remember the numbers that he dropped on us there?
Yeah, you can have chlorine levels as high as 4.0 parts per million. That would be very strong. He said pool, like a swimming pool, is 7 to 10. They have to keep it at, they have to have a residual, meaning at the end of town, at the end of the lines, needs to be 0.2. And so usually when it hits the north, it's closer to one or just under one. And then by the time it gets to the south end edge of town, it's the residual is that 0.2. Casey said, I think he is at one of those end points, and he just tested his the other day, and it was 0.35. So again, if you're on the north end of town, you're gonna taste it, smell it a little more than you would if you're on the south end of town. That's just how it works in the distribution of the chlorine.
So just something we have to do.
Well, this will be until we had a 90-day mandatory chlorination, and that is, I think, the end of February. And I kind of mentioned this last night in front of the council that Casey would be pushing more for let's just chlorinate all the time, because then you don't have to worry about the testing so much. I mean, your tests are going to come back. If they don't come back good, you know there's a bigger issue. And I have said, let's try to hold off chlorinating all the time as long as we can, because I think most residents would say we don't want chlorine in the water if we don't have to. And so I've been pushing that off. So every time, so right now we have a lot of we're chlorinating, we're not, we're back on, we're off. And so it's kind of back and forth. And so maybe that's not the best thing either for the public, but I'm still pushing as little chlorination as possible. And so we're going to keep trying to do that. Unless directed otherwise, either from the council or from the state saying, now you're at a mandatory rate. I didn't realize this, but Casey said last night, any community in Nebraska, 10,000 population or over, it's mandatory to chlorinate your water. So I didn't realize that.
All right. Anyway. Okay. I think we'll survive either way. while we're on the subject of water, the transmission line is, I think, next.
Yep. You bet. So Roger Protzman, JEO engineer that is on this project, he talked about the project a little bit. It's going to start here the first part of April or so. And we talked again about we got a pretty good bid on things. It's a little under $2.2 million, and we thought it was going to be closer to $3 million. So we got a pretty good bid on that. What we discussed last night was oversight of the project, and the council at the last meeting had asked. We talked about oversight on projects and things like that, and they wanted to see what would it cost and what would it, you know, man hours and things like that for oversight of this project. And so I had Roger put together a proposal for the council. It was going to be about $115,000 for oversight, and you might say, "Holy moly, that's a lot of money." To put it in perspective. We just approved a state project. The state doesn't really give us a whole lot of choice here, but we approved an oversight project of $374,000, which the city only has to come up with 20% of that. But that was for a $1.9 million project of the walking trail. Now, again, it's a little different because of the funding source. We have to have certain type of oversight on that one. This one, we're using the State Revolving Loan Fund, drinking water fund, and so we don't have those requirements on this. So what we talked about last night was, do you want, I call it the Cadillac plan of oversight, or do you want minimal oversight? When I say minimal oversight, do you want a professional engineer looking over the pipe in the ground, or are you okay with our water supervisor or another inspector looking at it in the ground, the city staff? So we talked about that. And at the end of the day, the council did not take action on the resolution to approve. And so at this point, we don't have a contract in place for oversight. So that doesn't mean the project's not going to have any oversight. It's going to have city staff overseeing it. And then when there's an issue or when they see something that they have questions on, we will call the engineer in. So they'll still have oversight. It's just a matter of we'll pay them per hour, and there won't be a contract in place at this point, at least, to say, you know, it won't go over so much or that. Well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, hopefully we won't need to have that done.
The oversight, well, yeah, and so, you know, you're kind of rolling the dice and saying, well, we hope we don't need that much oversight. We have a really good contractor in place. We don't think we're going to need that much. But again, Roger was told, give us a proposal. He gave us the proposal, and council didn't act on that. And good comments from I think, Councilman Karski last night was, we asked Roger to do this, so it looked like Roger was coming back with a $115,000 bill for us. It's like, well, no, we asked him to do that. What would it cost? And so, we'll go forward, and we'll try to minimize the use of the engineer. But I think the mayor even once said, don't cut corners by trying to save money. Make sure it's done properly. So we will use the engineer as much as we think we need to.
Okay.
And the next item on the agenda is the same thing, so I'll just hijack that and piggyback.
You're the
mayor here. So everybody is incentivized for the project to go well, right? The engineer wants the project to go well. The contractor wants the project to go well so that he can use us as references going forward. I think the big learning point that we've had in the city lately is the importance of like a pre-construction meeting where you get the engineer and the contractor and city staff together. And you go over the expectations of the project, you review whatever specs you're using, making sure everybody's on the same page.
I'm having trouble with the connection. Please try again in a moment.
I activated Siri by saying something close enough to, hey Siri. Anyways, I was getting at the pre-construction meeting and then getting staff comfortable with saying, this is what we're going to look for. You know, telling the engineer, this is what we look for at this point in the project. And if you see anything out of the ordinary, then you give us a call and bring us in. So it's kind of that fine balance of how much oversight is enough. As long as your city staff feels comfortable, in my opinion, then you're sitting fine. If they feel like they don't know what's going on, then we need to revisit this and get somebody who is comfortable, who does have the expertise to oversee at that point.
Okay, you trust your staff to know when they've gotten to a point where it's beyond them and they need help.
Exactly. It's one of those things, you don't know what you don't know. And we're unfortunately not going to know that until we get into it and deal with some of the more nuanced things in this. Like, you know, we talked before about the pigging station and things like that we have not done. I'm sure our staff has not been trained on that.
So. Yes, well, I think that's true for most things in life.
Exactly, and we will get, there's monthly construction meetings then where we kind of regroup and make sure everybody stays on the page, not just that pre-construction meeting. So hopefully that's enough. I wouldn't be surprised if we do revisit this at some point in time and maybe get a little bit, purchase a little bit more oversight.
All right, we'll move on to the senior center, I think.
Yeah, Wes.
Yeah, the senior center addition that we've been talking about for quite a while now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. The bid was awarded to, the contract was awarded to Sioux Contractors out of Sioux City, Iowa last night. They were the low bid. We had two bidders on the project. I think we had four that took out plans on it and two that bid. And so that project will start February 17th. They plan to start February 17th and be done by May 15th.
Okay.
So what that entails is about a 13 by 14 addition to the senior center. And that will house a new walk-in freezer. Again, we did not build that facility to cook you know, 90 some meals per day. We build it as a catering kitchen pretty much. And, you know, you can bring your cake in and we'll make some coffee, but not a full blown kitchen. And so they've been doing great with what they have. This will make a huge difference in food preparation and things like that. And so there'll also be room in this addition for dry goods and things like that, that they can, for storage, that they don't have that room right now. So, nice project. $47,800 was the awarded bid. And then the walk-in freezer is actually being, fundraised by the friends of the senior center, the patrons of the senior center are covering that cost. So it's a nice partnership between the city and the senior center patrons.
All right. Well, hopefully by, as you say, May, it'll all be done.
I promised Diane that we'd have it done by summer. We'd get it. Well, no, I think I said we'd get it done this spring or next spring. And this might have been like last spring.
He's buying himself more
and
time.
So I said
it's going to be winter by the time he gets done here.
No, so I told her, I have until June 21st, right, or June 22nd, whenever spring is,
right.
Whenever spring ends. But no, we fall within that, and it was a project that, you know, that was one that we got into, and we thought, okay, we might need a little more advice on this, and that's when we decided to go to an engineer and an architect with all this. So hopefully it looks very similar to the current brick. That was a big thing, is we want to match brick as well as possible. So I think it'll be a nice addition to the senior center.
Okay. Everybody will look forward to that.
Yep.
All right. Gee, parking zone was on the agenda. That hardly ever happens.
Right. You want that one?
You can knock it.
Okay. It was just a third reading on parking, reducing the requirements in R5. So we have very limited R5 zone property in the community. And so this limits, or this reduces some of the parking restrictions. It really reduces it to one person, one parking spot. So that's kind of the gist of that. Again, that was on third reading, so that will go into effect now.
All right. The next one was also
parking.
Parking, yeah. Two parkings.
Yes. This is the Summerfield Drive, which is out in the industrial park there. And this was kind of brought to our attention. Williams Form Engineering has been going gangbusters for quite a while now. And part of that kind of rapid expansion for their business has been they put some temporary modulars on top of their existing parking, and then the employees started parking out on the street. Now, just from the nature of how those lots are sold, they were never really intended to have parking out there because of the amount of truck traffic and things that are flying around out there. You've got, just off the top of my head, you've got Myla Meyer Construction, which is probably hauling lots of stuff in and out all the time.
Yes, large vehicles.
And so Williams Form has been parking on both sides of the street, which does not leave very much room for a large piece of equipment, such as Myla Meyer hauling a bunch of rock or soil or whatever it is they're moving. So we were brought to the council last night to take it off one side. The side that made the most sense was actually the opposite, which we normally go, but it was on the opposite side of the fire hydrants. And the council's like, wait, there's people parking out there? There's not supposed to be people parking out there. This is an industrial area. So they changed the ordinance to have no parking out on that Summerfield Drive. So I'm sure Williams Form is going to say, hold up one second. We need our employees somewhere to park, at least for the time being. We'll probably be talking about that at the next meeting.
Okay. So basically,
we are never done talking about parking.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully, they're going to have to do something different out there.
Yeah. A question was brought up on, was there parking on Centennial Road? And there isn't. I mean, there's the difference there is Centennial has a ditch, so you're not going to be able to park on the shoulder there, whereas Summerfield Drive and an industrial road are very flat, so it's easier to park there. So, you know, sometimes the terrain, just even though Centennial, I don't believe, is restricted parking at this point, it's just where are you going to park on that? And it's dangerous. I mean, you park there, you could get clipped pretty easily. So but Summerfield is a little different situation, and so we thought we needed to address that.
Okay. Well, still more to come on that one. All right, that's the end of the agenda. Anything else going on we need to know about?
Any highlights from the retreat we had last week?
Yeah, retreat, some of the issues we talked about with the retreat, that was last Wednesday. We talked about City Hall, what's the future of City Hall. We talked about annexation. and looking at, do we need to form an annexation plan of where do we annex next? How do we continue to grow the community that way? Just with square footage, not with necessarily people, but with square footage. We talked about parking. When you know, parking, terrace parking. That will likely come back in front of the council soon in an ordinance form to see if they want to address terrace parking or not. We discussed the activity center quite a bit, with improvements needing to be made to the activity center. The activity center's been around for 17, 18 years now or so. Very few improvements have been made. We know we need to do some things in restrooms and in locker rooms, things like that. We know there's a big issue with the track right now. That will be addressed here shortly after spring rains and things like that, to make sure that we've addressed water issues before we go and try to put thousands of dollars into a new track or a partial track. I'm trying to think what else we discussed. Fourth Street development. Yes, Fourth Street. We've talked about 8 acres down there to be sold at some point. Those would be the upper rugby fields, the community garden, and a parking lot. And to sell that to some developer, I use that term lightly, because we've talked about taking proposals instead of just putting a price tag on something and saying it's worth this amount, are you willing to pay it? It's more of, let's take proposals, and it's not necessarily how much you will pay for the property, it's what's the project. So if it's a project that the council really, really wants to see happen, the price could be lower. If it's a project that it's like, I'm just going to hold the land and I'm going to farm it, that might be pretty pricey farm ground. So those are some things that we're looking at on 4th Street. That should be happening very soon. We have to start a rezoning process. Right now it's zoned industrial. I don't think the council wishes are to have industry on that 8 acres. We think it's probably more suited for residential. And so I think our recommendation will be to rezone it R4 for residential purposes, higher density residential down there. And we'll see if we get anybody to propose things to us for that property.
Okay. Something to look forward to in the future then. All right. Everything else going okay?
We think so. Snow removal, ice removal, whatever kind of removal. Be patient out there.
Yeah.
Take a little extra time. We'll get to streets as soon as we can with all of that.
Joel told me we got a cool thing. We're going to experiment with a little rubber attachment that goes on the bottom of a snow plow that'll decrease the noise and hopefully clean up some of that kind of messy residue, especially I'm thinking brick streets because I drive a lot of those.
It's a rubber blade.
Okay.
He's looking at maybe getting one of those to experiment with and then hopefully transfer over. But yes, it's supposed to cut down on the sound, mm-hmm. the vibration, and it's supposed to be better for your streets as well, especially brick streets.
And that would make sense, yep. Yes.
So, but that's kind of a cool thing that we're going to try.
See how much they cost and how long they last.
They do cost a little more. There's a little bit more upfront cost because you got to retrofit your plow, but they're not supposed to wear out nearly as fast either. So, okay. Which is strange that a rubber would not or plastic would not wear out as much. But that's the story. At least they went over to Iowa. He and Jason Jurgensen went over to Iowa like a week ago or so to see it in action. So haven't really talked to them about what they found.
All right. Well, we'll let you guys get back to work then.
Thanks, Dan.
Right, thanks, Dan.
Wes Blakey, Cale Geese again, our guests today on The View from Wayne America.
The View from Wayne America.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC.
The View from Wayne.